Well, good morning, guys. It's awesome to be back with, back here again. It's an honor to share God's word. And today is extra special because I get to share this pulpit with my amazing wife, Karen. She'll be coming up here in a little bit and she's going to give a testimony. And I'm just really excited. And a little fun fact about Karen and I, we have been doing ministry together for over a decade. I know Karen doesn't look it, but we've been doing ministry for over a decade, and I'm just in awe of her. And, you know, every single time I hear her talk about Jesus, I just fall in love with her all over again. So I'm really excited, you know, for her to give a word. And also I have a really good buddy of mine, Hayden, here today. So Karen, Hayden, and I, we all served in youth ministry together for 6 years, six long years. So we served in ministry together for 6 years, and this has nothing to do with the message. But I guess it kind of does. I hope I never have to do this again. So there you go. I'm tying in hope. So funny story about Hayden. We were at a youth camp 1 year, and he has no idea I'm about to say this, by the way. So we were at youth camp 1 year, and, you know, youth camp is crazy. Teenagers are crazy, right? So, you know, as a youth leader, you have to kind of be crazy with them. If not, you're not cool, right? So Hayden and I, we thought it would be a good idea to head down to like the lake area where all the kids were. And they were doing this really cool, like obstacle course thing. And there was a giant mud pit. Okay. It was massive. I'm not joking. It was huge. And all the kids were doing their little activities. They were all set up in teams and everyone's cheering them on. And us as youth leaders were there, solely to cheer the kids on. Right. But at the very end, oh, I want to preface this. We were like the fourth camp. So every week, you know, you have like 1,000 students come in. And, you know, so we're like the fourth camp doing this. So that mud pit, was well seasoned with spit and like blood and sweat and hair. It was just gross. It was gross. So they called some leaders to come up and participate, and do like the activity with them. And that involves you getting completely covered in mud, right? So of course Hayden, the servant's heart he has, he's like, "I'll do it." And I was like, "Go for it, bro. You got this." And then they said, "Oh, we need two." And I was like, "Okay, you know." And then Hayden was like, "Come on, bro. You got this. You can do it." And I was like, "No, no." And then he got everyone cheering, "Ray, Ray." And of course I had to do it, right? So I did it and it was awful. Not because it was, I mean, I don't care about getting dirty and stuff, but I mean, it was nasty. You guys, it smelled so bad. So Hayden made me do it. So that's my peer pressure story for the day. I have a video of that entire thing happening. So if you guys want to see the video, come and find me afterwards. I'll love to show it to you guys. Oh, we'll throw it on the website. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So Hayden, thanks for coming, man. Love you, bro. All right. So we're continuing our Advent series today, and we are going to be talking about hope. Okay. The main idea for today's message is that our hope needs to be rooted in faith that inspires us to look beyond our circumstances and trust God's faithfulness to his promises. So it's up there. So in short, guys, trust God. Make it simple. Trust God. When I was planning for this message, I read that hope is to the human heart like oxygen is to the lungs. Okay? In other words, the heart needs hope just as lungs need air to breathe. Without hope, the heart can wither and die, but a heart that has abundant hope thrives and lives healthy. A heart filled with hope in Jesus continues to believe, trust, and know that God is faithful and he is sovereign and that he is at work and that he has good plans for us and he will faithfully fulfill all his promises to us. So Pastor John mentioned a few weeks ago that we live in a world where terrible and unspeakable things happen. You know, we live in a world where sin exists. But yet here I am standing in front of you today speaking about hope when I know that some of you guys are going through some very challenging things. And it may seem pretty hopeless. If that's you today, I want you to know that you are loved by God and you are seen. And what I always say, guys, is but God. In your situation, but God. Jesus will return, and that is the hope that we are all holding on to so dearly. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7, I think we'll throw that on the screen here. It says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with faithfulness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Amen. So oftentimes when we think about Hope Church, we think of it being kind of like a longing or a wanting. But hope is really about the confidence that we have in God's promises, okay? Hope is not a wish. Hope is a knowing. Okay, I'll say that again. Hope is not a wish. Hope is a knowing. In Romans 5, verse 5, it says, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. And during this Advent season, church, hope reminds us of the assurance that we have that God will fulfill all his promises through the birth of Jesus. As Pastor John mentioned earlier, scripture says that those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. And listen, I understand that this message of hope might be hard for some of you guys to hear. You guys have, you know, dealt with really deep, deep pain. You may be going through a situation with your marriage and it's, you know, on the ropes and you're not too sure if it's going to work out. And it might be hope. You might think it's hopeless. Or you might be dealing with the death of a loved one. Pain. Pain. But just know that if you choose to have a heart filled with hope, even in your circumstance, okay, you will see that God is faithful through it all. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. All right, so towards the end of 2009, I was serving as a youth leader at my church, and I was talking to my pastor at that time, and I was telling him of my plans on attending university, right? I was telling him that, hey, listen, you know, I'm going to go to the University of Texas, Pan America, which is in South Texas. It was about 2 hours away from my home. And my older brother was a sophomore there already. So my natural thought was, hey, I'm going to join him. You know, we were best buds growing up. You know, it would be a great transition for me. And that was my plan. And I'll never forget this. Never will. My pastor looked at me straight in the eyes right after I told him that I was going to go to Pan Am. And he looked at me straight in the eyes and he said, listen, and he was prophesying over my life in real time. He said, the Lord has a different plan for you. I know you think you're going to go to Pan Am, but that's not where you're going to end up. And I was like, okay. And I laughed a little bit because, you know, I was caught off guard. Anyone, ever laugh in really serious, you know, situations? You know, I'm one of those guys. I laughed a little bit because I was caught off guard. But one thing led to another, and in early 2010, Pan Am was no longer the path I knew I was supposed to take. A month or so later, I met a girl, and her heart was on fire for Jesus. And church, everything changes when you meet the girl. You guys know what I'm talking about? It's kind of like a real-life country song. Yeah, at least it was for us. And the Lord told me right then and there when I saw her that she was going to be my wife. After 7 days of knowing this girl, I told her that I loved her and that I was going to marry her. And I am so thankful Karen looked at me and said, hey, I can't wait to be your wife. And mind you guys, we were teenagers at this time. And next month, Karen and I are going to be celebrating our 11th year of marriage. And I'm just so thankful to the Lord for giving me such an amazing wife who loves Jesus and an amazing mother to our children. Okay, so my initial plans, actually, I think I have a picture. Do I have a picture of that? I don't know, when we first met. There we go. Yeah. Like we were babies. I know, glasses, all that. Yeah, Karen had no idea I was going to show this picture. And it's also not, it's not fair that she, you know, she doesn't age. But yeah, that was us. Okay, you can take it down. Before I get in trouble, y'all, I think I might be, I don't know. All right, so my initial plan was to go to Pan Am. But listen, that did not work out because, you know, God, right? He was calling me to Dallas, okay? And he was calling me to attend Christ for the Nations Institute. And at this time, Karen and I were not married yet. We were still dating. And, you know, luckily for me, though, he was also calling Karen to attend the same school, wink, wink, you know. So it worked out perfectly. So in August 2011, we packed our bags and we quit our minimum wage jobs and we drove to Dallas. Did we have everything planned out perfectly? Nope, not at all. I know that surprises you guys now because Karen is, you know, very structured. But back then, it was a little different. So nope, we didn't have it all planned out. Did we know that our tuition was going to be about $1,000 a month? And if we didn't pay it, there was a chance that we could get, you know, get kicked out of school because they weren't going to feed us and let us stay there for free, you know? Yep, we knew that. There was no financial aid or anything like that for Bible schools. I don't think there's, you know, there is to this day. Did we have jobs lined up in Dallas before we left? Nope, we did not. And then the question you guys are asking is, listen, Ray, surely you had money saved, right? Like, there ain't no way you're going to go to Dallas with no money in your bank account. Nope, not a dime. I'm telling you guys. But you know what we had? We had a hope. We had hope. We had hope in our hearts, and we knew that the Lord keeps his promises. His promise for us at that time was that he will make a way, and he will direct our path, and he will make all things work out to his glory if we said yes to the call of ministry. We knew the Lord was calling us to attend Bible school, so off we went, running after the promise the Lord placed in our hearts. You know, honestly, looking back at it now, I'm kind of impressed by our faith a little bit, you know? Most would really say what we did was kind of reckless or maybe irresponsible. But what we felt it was obedience to the Lord. Earlier I said, church, a heart filled with hope in Jesus continues to believe, trust, and know that God is sovereign, that he is at work, that he has good plans. And he will faithfully fulfill all his promises for us. So we were just two kids with hearts full of hope, and we trusted the Lord with all our might. And we knew that he will make a way, and he will make it work out, because he was calling us to attend Bible school. But there was just one issue, church. We were broke. I mean, like, we were broke. Our parents were not in a position to fund our calling, so we were literally on our own. We knew that we both had to pay $1,000 in tuition, and, you know, that date was fast approaching. And we had no idea how we were going to do it. You know, when we moved to Dallas, we weren't able to secure jobs right away, and, you know, a couple of doors closed in our faces when I thought we were, you know, be able to secure jobs when we moved, but that didn't happen. So money was tight. So I remember clearly one day, Karen and I, we missed dinner on campus. And back then, dinner was between like 4 to 6 p.m. or something like that. It was at a set time. And if you missed dinner, it was one of those situations. It was like, hey, listen, sorry, too bad, so sad. Go figure it out. You know, kitchen's closed. The women's dorms, they did have, you know, I guess kitchens inside. But the men's didn't for sure. So I guess if worse came to worse, Karen can cook us like ramen noodles or something. You know, it's again, because we weren't married at that time. But you know what? We didn't eat ramen noodles that time. But I'm not even joking. Between Karen and I, in our bank accounts, you know, she had a bank account and I had mine, combined, we had $4 to our name. $4. Not even joking. I told you guys, we were broke. Not joking. So listen, missing dinner was like a huge deal for us. You know, we didn't take it lightly. So we ended up walking to McDonald's. It was about a block away from our campus. And we ordered two $1 cheeseburgers and we ordered one small fries. And we sat there looking at each other full of love. and we ate our dinner. Okay. We ate our dinner and we talked about our tuition and we did the only thing we could do. And that was pray and seek Jesus. So fast forward the next week or so, tuition was due. And did we have our money? Nope. And it was right then and there, I remember questioning God. Anyone ever question God? Yeah. I remember questioning God and asked him, listen, why in the world would you send us all the way over here just for us to leave a month later? You know, I was upset with God. I was upset. And I was upset because I thought he should open some doors that didn't open. And I thought we should be in a better financial situation at this time, but we weren't. I told him that, hey, listen, I believed in you, God. I put my hope in you. I put my trust in you, but you didn't deliver. I was mad, but overall, I felt like a complete failure. I remember going to the tuition office and I was so embarrassed, so embarrassed. And I remember I went to ask and I needed them to show me some grace and some mercy. And I begged them not to kick us out. But God, yeah. But God. When I went to the tuition office, they told me that someone paid the tuition for Karen and I, and that we were all set. It was a miracle from the Lord. I remember I cried, and I laughed, and I apologized to God. And I was reminded that even in the lowest of times, if you believe and you have hope in your heart, it will work out according to his plans. And soon after that, we both landed great jobs and we worked our butts off to pay for school and church. A heart filled with hope in Jesus continues to believe, trust, and know that God is sovereign, that he has good plans for us, and he will faithfully fulfill all his promises to us. Amen. All right. Next, I want to invite Karen up here. She is going to share a testimony today of redemption and of hope. And I am excited to hear it.
Took me back there. That picture caught me a little off guard. thank you, church, so much for allowing me to be up here today to share with you. First, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart just to say thank you for how supportive and how sweet you've been to me and my family, especially during my pregnancy and when the ladies prayed for me when our baby was breached. I heard stories of women tell me, you know, I delivered a breached baby, and I thought, awesome, good for you, you're amazing, that's not going to happen to me. She has to flip. And well, I said the baby has to flip because we didn't know the gender, but, and she did. So thank you so much for praying. Today I have something to share about her. She's 10 weeks old now, Emerson Kate. She is a dream of a baby and we all thought she was going to be a boy. Everybody told us it's a boy, you know, the way you're carrying and you feel different. And I was like, you know, maybe it's a boy. And it was a girl, so it was a true surprise, and it was so fun when Ray yelled, it's a girl! So it was a fun surprise. I know some of you have done that. So we feel so blessed to have two daughters, and her testimony today is one of redemption and hope, and I hope it encourages you and builds up your faith. Sharing testimonies with one another is so, so powerful, because no one can challenge your testimony. No one can fight you on it. It's yours. Our stories show the world that God is real, that he cares for us, and that he's always working in our lives. And nothing in our lives is ever wasted. We know that God works all things for good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Last October, I became pregnant with our second baby, and we were so excited to grow a family. We were filled with so much joy and hope for this new season of our lives. However, around 8 weeks, we experienced a miscarriage. We were devastated at the loss of our baby, and all the hopes and dreams we had for this child were completely gone. I know some of you have experienced this, and I found so much comfort from the support of other women around me, lifting me up, knowing that we weren't alone in what we were walking through. And on Sunday, December 17th, so almost a year ago, just a few days after the miscarriage, I was standing in worship back there at our usual spot. My heart was hurting, my body was aching, and I felt the Lord tell me, by this time next year, you'll be holding a baby. I thought, Lord, was that you that just said that? Or was that me hoping for that to happen? How many times have we felt the Lord speak to us, but we dismiss it, thinking it's us? I immediately thought, wait, Lord, how? This time next year, if you know me, you know I'm very type A. And the planner in me started mathing. You know, I started doing some math in my head. And I thought, Lord, if I'm going to be pregnant by this time next year, or if I'm going to be holding a baby by this time next year, that means that one, my body has to heal. Two, my body has to return to normal. And three, we have to conceive all in the next 3 months if that's going to come to pass. And as many of you know from experience, family planning is not easy. However, I responded to him and I said, Lord, I will choose to believe you. There was nothing more than I wanted than for that word to come to pass. Psalm 5:3 says, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and I wait expectantly. I pray that the Lord would grant us another child in his perfect timing. The word says, when God speaks, his word will always have an effect. It will not return to him without accomplishing its purpose. 6 short weeks later, after that word from the Lord, I was pregnant. It was a miracle. We chose to wait to tell our family about the baby this time around until we had a sonogram around 8 weeks. And on March 17th of this year, we called our family and told them the happy news, and we called them around 8:30, 9 p.m. that Sunday evening, and everyone was so excited. Little did we know that around that exact same time, between 8:30 and 9 p.m., my brother would pass away unexpectedly at that exact same time that we shared the news of our new baby. He was 27 years old. Our family was in shock and completely heartbroken. Even in all the pain and sorrow, the Lord was so kind. He gave us this little miracle baby at the exact same time of our grief. Without that hope of new life, the loss of my brother's passing would have been completely unbearable. Psalm 62:5-6 says, let all that I am wait quietly before God. For my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My due date was October 14th, and my mom's birthday is October 10th. So I prayed and hoped and I requested of the Lord that he would make this baby be born on her birthday as a sweet gift to her after losing her son earlier this year. As evidence that the Lord sees her and cares for her. And guess what? Emerson Kate made her grand entrance into the world on October 10th at 1:45 a.m. on my mom's birthday. She was there at the birth and was filled with so much joy at her sweet birthday gift. So here I am at the exact time the Lord told me I would be holding a baby with a baby. He is so faithful. There are three things I want you to receive from this testimony. One, choose to believe God. His promises always come to pass. I chose to believe that God will redeem the loss of our baby in a way that only He could. Number two, pray specific prayers so that when He answers you, your faith grows and you're encouraged. During my pregnancy, I prayed for very specific things. I requested a specific date, again, type A. I prayed that this baby would be born at night while our daughter Riley was sleeping. Since we were having the baby at home, I didn't want to worry about her. And I prayed that the baby would be born on a Thursday so she would have school and I could rest. And He granted all these things. Our God is so good and He hears us. 1 John 5:14 says that He loves to grant our requests and answer our prayers whenever we ask anything according to His will. So pray specific prayers. And lastly, hold on to hope. God is called the God of hope. He is the source and the giver of hope. Our hope is in the one who never changes and the one who never fails. He will see you through. Trust Him, believe Him, and wait on Him expectantly. Thank you, church.
Amen, amen. I am so thankful for my little baby Emerson and, you know, poor Riley. I mean, I feel like she's going to look back at these messages when she's older and she's like, Dad, why are you always like throwing me in the mud, you know? But y'all, you know, you guys weren't there. I guess we started coming to church when Riley was 15 months. Yeah. So y'all missed it. Y'all missed the wrath of Riley whenever she wasn't. I mean, now she's super cute. But when she was a little baby, she was just a tough baby. She had a lot of, I guess, she just coughed a lot and just cry. And she was just always uncomfortable. So she was just hard to deal with. You know, it was just one of those babies. So Emerson Kate is just the complete opposite of that. And I feel like it was the Lord saying, hey, I'm sorry I made you go through that. But here's this gift. And there's times where we're at the house and we're just playing or we're just hanging out and we literally forget we have a baby there. Like, she is just so chill and it's just amazing. So I'm just thankful for my little baby and I'm thankful for a wife who loves Jesus. So, all right. So in closing today, I want to wrap up by reading from the book of Titus and also from the book of John. Titus 2 verses 11 through 13. I think we have this on the screen as well. It says, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward to what? Hope. To that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. So one day, church, we are going to stand before God. And one day, we're going to be able to spend eternity in heaven. And church, our hope is not only in what Jesus has done, but it's also in what He will do. In John 14, verses 1 through 3, it says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Let me stop there for a second. Jesus is saying, listen, don't lose hope. Don't be discouraged. I got this. I'm with you. I got this. He goes on and says, trust in God and also trust in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? I'm going to read that again. Verse 2. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. One day, church, we're going to leave this earth and we are going to be in a place with Jesus that He has prepared for us. And I don't know about you, church, but that is great news. That is great news. If you are feeling discouraged today, and if you are feeling hopeless, just know that God is for you and He loves you. Build up your hope today and know that Jesus has prepared a place for you. He is coming. And what a glorious day that is going to be. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your Son, Jesus, Lord. And help us to trust your plan, Father God, even when we don't see the way. Even when it might be, we might think it's hopeless. Give us the faith, Father God, to trust in you and to continue the fight. Let your hope, which never fails, Father, be the foundation that we set our lives on, Father. We surrender our fears to you, God. And we surrender our doubts to you as well. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you so much for salvation. We thank you so much for redemption. But most importantly, we thank you so much for your loving Son, Jesus, and for the hope that we have in Him. Thank you, God. Thank you for everything you're doing, and thank you for everything you will do in the future. We love you, and we do this in all in your name. Amen.